afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing? Thank you, man.
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Dave the Redneck Schultz, as the fans call you. You see something like this happen, it's got to be upsetting to you.
It don't upset me at all, baby. Let me tell you, I think it's great. You know what I mean? If you're going to go on the hunt, you got to be able to run with the big boys. If he can't run with the big boys, he should get out. He shouldn't come out here. Last time I was in San Francisco, I went downtown looking for a woman. You know what I mean? I wanted a woman. I couldn't find a woman. I found a lot of men that look like women. Now, you, Hulk Hogan, you belong in San Francisco. What's wrong with you, Gene? I'm telling you like it is, baby. You belong in San Francisco. That's your kind of place. That's your kind of people, because you've never had a woman, baby.
Everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program in the Town Fair Tire Studios.
Rest in peace, Mean Gene.
That's right.
You know what? It was an ironic nickname because he was the nicest fella in town.
You know what? I was looking yesterday. I saw that Mean Gene Okerlund passed away, and Jimmy Stewart was tweeting out some videos of his, and he was like, here's one of my favorite videos of Mean Gene. And I was thinking it was going to be, you know, him doing a promo with the Iron Sheik, or, you know, maybe like a classic of him with the Macho Man Randy Savage. And instead, the clip that he had tweeted out that he said was like one of his favorites was just like a dramatic turn. It was Mean Gene Okerlund walking out of like this mansion with Ric Flair, and they're like, I don't know if you're going to be able to beat Vader. Yeah, I've seen what Vader can do to some people. They're just talking as friends and getting in a car. They drive off. I'm like you, so you were in it for like the actual dramatic turns.
That wasn't even. It doesn't even sound like a dramatic turn. It just sounds like two fellas talking.
It really was. It was just, you see, he was more than just the guy with the microphone. He had feelings too. And I'm like, this.
Here's,
out of all the
here's
clips,
what happened when the lights were off?
Right. Out of all the things you could have pulled, like, I mean, that one with what was that guy's name? It was like the redneck. He had some sort of weird name. I mean, that's pretty outrageous. That's from the 80s. And by the way, some of those promos you just couldn't get away with today.
No, you don't say.
As we know very well from, you know, like one of the ones in Piper's Pit that
have a coconut.
Right. So I was expecting it to be something kind of like that, you know, an Iron Sheik classic. And instead, you got to watch it, man. It was just like two guys being friends and really looking out for each other in a moment when they knew that Vader could end his career.
Yeah, Vader. Vader was a... See, that's when Flair was a baby face.
I guess so.
And Vader was a heel.
Yeah.
And everyone was very concerned about Flair. Because Vader was as tough as a son of a gun.
So, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Mean Gene Okerlund getting a lot of press because three people died yesterday.
Well, okay, so let's talk about a little bit of confusion that I had too. So, the guy, and I forget his real name. Bob Einstein. Or Einstein. I don't even know how you pronounce
his
last name.
I would guess it's Einstein.
Okay, Einstein. So, he is Super Dave Osborne, yep. A.K.A. Marty Funkhauser, yep, from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Who was 76 and looked very good.
Yeah.
He looked...
That's a lot of surgery.
Yeah, but nice. Regardless.
The man had the constantly surprised look on his face.
That could be Botox. That doesn't mean surgery necessarily, but I always looked at him as, wow, he's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
He's very young looking.
However, I always thought that actor's real name was Marty Funkhauser. The reason being is that everybody else on Curb Your Enthusiasm, if I'm not mistaken, uses their real name. I mean, Ted Danson is Ted Danson. Jeff Garlin is Jeff Garlin. The Richard Lewis is Richard. Everyone on the show uses Cheryl Hines as Cheryl on the show.
Jimmy Snuka is Jimmy Snuka. Yeah, right.
But he was Marty Funkhauser. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's the guy who played Super Dave Osborne is Marty Funkhauser. And then everyone's saying, it's Bob Einstein. I'm like, huh? So he was like the one guy in the show that didn't use his real name.
It's a mystery. Just like The Undertaker.
And Super Dave, did you watch Super Dave?
Because I did, because it was like it was on Showtime.
Yeah,
it was like
was it Showtime or Nickelodeon?
No, it was Showtime, and it was part of a John Biner show. Was it called Bizarre or something like that?
They showed boobies.
Yep, that's damn right. That's the reason I watched.
That's the reason I watched. Yes. Yes, it was. It was on Showtime.
It was Bizarre, though. I have the show right. I think it was called Bizarre.
I think you're right.
And but John Biner and Super Dave Osborne would get up. There'd be like this big, big pillow, you know, bag to fall into. And he'd get up on this high riser and halfway down, I missed it, and like land on the ground. And that was supposed to be, it was like a dummy. It was obvious. It was like a dummy. It landed on the ground.
It's funny. When I was a kid, when it was on, I guess I really didn't get it. And I watched some of it yesterday, and it was kind of a one-joke show. And the show was, let's not disguise the fact that it's always a dummy that's getting mangled.
Exactly.
And it's not this guy. And I watched it for actually like two or three segments yesterday, and I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of funny. But how could you sustain an entire show where it's like the Mr. Bill show. I mean, you know that Mr. Bill was going to get smashed by Sluggo. Like, it's like it was one joke throughout the entire show.
Yeah, that was secondary to the topless women. That was like break up the topless women. You had Super Dave.
You had to sit through a lot to get to the topless women.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you needed. I think that show was probably out when I was like 13.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you see, I thought it was when we were younger than that. For some weird reason. I just remember seeing it on weird times on TV and not really getting it.
Yeah.
And even last
night.
There
was nothing to get, really.
I watched.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Fred.
There weren't many layers to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yesterday, somebody said, Super Dave Osborne's first stunt. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see this. And it was him literally on the front like seat at a roller coaster at Magic Mountain and him going, oh, I'm sick. Ooh.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I believe it might have even been Brent Musburger, like, played his doctor, like, came over, was like, oh, he's not looking good. And I was trying to figure out, maybe I know why I didn't quite get this when I was a kid. It wasn't really that great.
Well, I think the joke, obviously, is that he's a stuntman, and the big stunt was he was riding a roller coaster.
Sure, sure. And on the roller coaster were, like, kids and nuns.
Yeah.
And they seem to be able to handle it, yeah.
Right. And so, and then...
He was great as Marty Funkhauser, by the way. I thought that was a great character on that show.
And then, the captain from Captain and Daniil died.
Mm-hmm. Daryl Dragon, is that the guy's name?
But I don't think I know a Captain and Daniil's song.
Muskrat Love, I believe, is their huge hit.
Love Will Keep Us Together, Fred.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I do.
That was a big one, too.
Yeah, Love Will Keep Us Together, I believe, would be the biggest
one. Didn't they have a variety show, the two of them? The Captain and Tennille?
That's way before my time.
I saw something about that yesterday.
No.
They had like a television show on like ABC.
But what's great about Captain Tennille is that dude in all the photos had a captain's hat on.
When Wallach was a kid, every show was a variety show.
If damn right, Donnie and Marie, let's go.
he remembered when it was Milton Berle's world.
Yeah, he always had a shirt on, apparently. He said captain and a captain's hat. Just so you never forgot that he was a captain.
That's right.
Is there a guy at the station who calls himself the captain?
Yes, there is, actually.
Okay.
He's not around that much anymore. All right. Now, why was this a hit?
Because it had a muskrat sound effect at one point. Dude, I don't know. This is the yacht rock.
Can you imagine always having... But this isn't yacht rock, really.
Yeah, it's considered yacht rock. It's like, you know, Dan said in my headphones. He's right. They were like a Carpenter's ripoff.
Yeah, that's not yacht rock.
Yeah, they were yacht rock. They were considered yacht rock. I mean, his name was a captain.
I think that you're going too much with captain. Because it was like the Doobie Brothers. It was Loggins and Mussina, Christopher Cross.
Sure, but they're always like jumbled in with that. And maybe it's unfairly because he wore a captain's hat.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be labeled as anything. But in all these photos, like, he's old as hell. And he's just got the captain's hat on. You're like, he's like, yeah. I can't leave the house with the captain's without the captain's hat.
Oh, he's just invisible.
But you just can't leave the house without a captain's hat. And then you go, who the hell is going to recognize you?
And by the way, his original name was much cooler than the captain. It was like Don Dragon or something like that.
Harold Dragon. I believe it was.
Harry Dragon, man. Yeah. That kicks ass. I mean, that's like a porn name.
Walking and we're born in the same hospital. At the same time. Yep.
What's up, Harry Dragon?
Yeah, so they come in threes.
All in the same day.
But, I mean, it's kind of a C-list three. But nonetheless, I'm very glad that James... Do you think James would have cried?
Maybe, yeah.
I feel nothing.
I mean, maybe. I just clicked on the clip and I started... Like, it was like a 2-minute long clip, and I'm waiting for the moment where, like, Mean Gene freaks out because someone bashes, like, a chair over someone's head.
Right.
And when it got to the end of it, I just sat there by myself and started laughing out loud, going, wow, this is the... I mean, it truly is just, like, two... Like, a serious moment between two friends.
Both in, one's in a tuxedo, one's in a suit.
Yeah, right. And huh. They just walk out to a, and they're just like, I don't know if you're going to be able to defeat Vader. I mean, we've seen what he's done to careers before. And they get in a limo together and they're like, you know what? I think if anyone could do it, it's you. We'll see. And they just drove off. It was just like his Oscar moment.
Yeah.
He liked the serious part.
That was time to drop the facade of Ric Flair. And the only guy who could bring that out was Mean Gene Okerlin. But if you're, because Tennille, I guess is fortunate for the captain. Tennille was with him when he died. But if you're Tennille, do you look and you go, like, people are making a bigger deal out of Mean Gene Okerlin, Super Dave Osborne, and then we're kind of like at the bottom of the page.
I think that's about right.
No, it is right.
I think in the pantheon of pop culture, it probably goes in that order.
But it's not this, you know, wave of celebrity. I mean, I just, you know, because if the captain had died.
Right.
Almost any other day.
Yeah.
You know, it's mentioned on the news.
Well, listen, he wasn't the pina colada guy. If you like pina colada. Bertie Higgins?
Is that... No. I actually...
Oh. No, Bertie Higgins is Key Largo.
Rupert Hines.
Okay, thank you
very much. I'm going to Marathon Key in February, and that Key... By the way, Key Largo is a dump. Yes. And then in that Key Largo song...
He's looking at you, kid.
It gets stuck in my stupid head. My mom used to work for a periodontist. She did all the, the literature for him, the advertising stuff. And I would have to sit in this periodontist office, you know, for hours at a time because I was an only child.
Oh, there God. It is.
Oh,
there
no.
It is. Yes.
Just like Bogey and McCall.
What were they starring in?
Starring in our own Lele show.
Sailing away to First of all, wow, what a sail from Miami to Key Largo. It's like 5 miles. Oh. And then second of all, Key Largo is a huge dump.
It is?
Key Largo's huge dump.
He sells it so well in the show, in the song,
I believe
though.
That Key Largo is the first key, or certainly one of them. It's not South Marathon, which is when it actually gets good. I don't know. But I know Key Largo's a dump because the first time I drove through it, I'm like, oh, Key Largo. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to stop. All right, Rich, the Celtics last night played very well.
Yep.
What else do we got?
Gordon Hayward goes off, and the Antonio Brown show is worth the price of admission.
All right. We will be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Oh, well. Gordon Hayward in Boston finally looked like the Gordon Hayward that we saw in Utah.
Now Gordon Hayward. Hayward turns the corner, gets to the baseline, takes his jumper, and knocks it down. And there are moments that it just snaps in, and Gordon Hayward is Gordon Hayward again.
Well, the man with the best Fortnite skills in the Celtics went off last night in Boston's 115-102 win over the Timberwolves at the Garden, with Kyrie out with two scratched eyes, which for some reason just sounds worse than having a broken bone. The reserves needed to step up, and last night was Gordon's night. He delivers his best game as a Celtic, playing 32 minutes and scoring 35 points in the process. It was cool to be reminded what a truly gifted passer he can be, and on top of that, we saw once again what he's able to do from three.
Rozier finds Tice, shovels to the corner. Hayward, pretty good look at a three. Got it. 36 off the bench for Gordon Hayward.
Now, what's weird about all of this is that for as much of a project that Hayward has been this season, he absolutely destroys the Timberwolves. His season average is 9.7 points a game. However, against Minnesota, who they've now played twice, he averages over 32 points a game. That's just when he decides to go off
is when Tom Thibodeau happens to be in the building.
And you know, I spent a lot of last night watching Thibodeau on the sideline. You know it's just eating him up because that's all he does. There's nothing else in his life other than basketball.
Right. How did I not plan for this guy?
And just why? He'll think about that for the next 48 hours straight.
Which player did we talk to, Fred, a while back, who we were talking about how weird Tom Thibodeau was, and he said that all he does is basketball and collects stamps.
I don't know if a player told us or if we read that, but yeah, like his one other, because he's not married. Yeah. You would imagine he lives in like a one bedroom apartment, you know, in some nondescript community.
Right. I imagine him like John Sterling. You know, the game's over, he goes back to his apartment and watches film.
I know. I see him never being there. I see him always being at the facility.
Oh,
like it's like he's hardly at his home at all.
It's like, why isn't he a better coach? I mean, because the story on him is he was overplaying everyone last year. Is that the minutes his starters were putting him were ridiculous, and he was wearing the team down. So by the end of the season, everyone had nothing left. So you would think in his whole, and I think that comes with his, you know, complete obsession with the game.
Probably is.
Is that he was playing every game like it was game seven of the play in the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't understand for all the time he puts in. He's obviously not an exceptionally gifted person.
Is there a hobby that says I'm a horribly boring person more than being a stamp collector? Like, I can't think of anything that just makes you go, wow, I really got nothing going on in my life. If that's what you do?
It's from another era.
Maybe one of those people on the beach who brings the old metal detector.
Well, that's a thousand times worse.
Well, I mean, that's not even boring. That's just scummy. Right. There's boring and then there's scummy.
Like, if I met someone who had a big stamp collection, I'd be like, whatever. If I knew someone who walked around with a metal meter.
You'd be like, ooh.
What are you expecting to find?
This treasures.
Yeah, there's 5,000 people on this beach. Like, what do you think? Ooh, what do you think? You're going to get some relic from, like, the Titanic?
Right. It's an ancient bottle cap from a tab circa 1984.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, so he absolutely destroys Minnesota. Now, despite the convincing win, the Celtics once again let a team creep back into things. It was crap, though, in the third before ultimately putting the hammer down. And we had two instances of players getting banged up and having to leave the floor as well.
10:46 to go in the third quarter. Ooh. Tyus Jones. Boy, he got Marcus Smart dribbling by him. Finds Towns for a little flip shot. Marcus Smart is hurting, man. That shoulder got clipped. Celtics need a timeout. And Marcus Smart, as tough a dude as there is dangling that right arm. On a night, finally, everything is going well. Marcus Smart gets clipped.
Yeah, Smart collided with Karl Anthony Towns on a screen, and he immediately went down the tunnel. And as Sean Graney was saying there, that's not good when it's Marcus Smart. He's favoring his right shoulder. He later came back and was effective. And then Marcus Morris took a hard foul when racing for a loose ball in the fourth. He did not return. Here is Brad Stevens on the health of both Marcuses.
Marcus Smart took a shot in the back of his shoulder. They told me it must have hit right where a nerve is, and so he's going to be okay, it looks like. And then Marcus Morris, really stiff neck from that fall, so we'll find out more tomorrow. He was getting worked on the rest of the game, and then he was just in the locker room, and you know, he looks like he's hurt.
That's two of the players who have overperformed this season. I think we can all agree there's been about three, you know, him, those two, and Kyrie Irving, and the rest of them you're kind of waiting to become what you would hope they would be. But at least you've got, I mean, you know, when those two guys in one game get injured, it's not always a good sign. But Gordon Hayward, hey, how about that? He had an excellent game. He got a little more playing time than usual. Here he is afterwards feeling good about himself.
As the season goes on, I think my movement is getting better. I think there's still so many things to work on. I mean, you just in two games, you know, night and day. So consistency is going to be huge to have, not necessarily games like this all the time, but just games where I'm aggressive and attacking as opposed to being passive.
So yesterday, Brad Stevens was on with Zolak and Bertrand, and they asked him about Kyrie's scratched eyes. And to be honest, it sounded a little more grim than I had originally assumed. Here he is talking about having to watch film with Kyrie in a strange way.
He got swiped across the face, and yeah, it was a unique deal because it got both eyes. And the right eye was the initial concern with the corneal abrasion. The left eye had some inflammation today. He was not feeling good. We watched film for, you know, an hour and a half in my office yesterday, and he was wearing sunglasses, and you know, he's not doing so hot once he takes those sunglasses off.
To that, Zolak said, what's so wrong with that?
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world. Well, tomorrow night, the Dallas Mavericks and the Luka Show roll into the TD Garden. This on the heels of the Mavericks filing for a trademark for Luka's new nickname, the Matador.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be a bad thing in the NBA?
That'd I would think.
This guy plays no defense.
Yeah.
But also, what an original nickname.
Sure. Let's just call our newest player the Revolving Door. Is that the dumbest name that you...
Nicknames in general are stupid these days. I mean, what Doug McDermott's like Dougie McBuckets.
Dougie McBuckets was so bad it was great.
I mean, like, when we were growing up, you had the glove, you had Magic, you had Larry Legend, and now we've evolved from that to Dougie McBuckets
Time
and
Lord's
the Matador.
Time Lord's a good name.
Time Lord is a good name. That's good. But that's a rarity these days.
There's Dribbles McGee.
Who was Dribbles McGee?
Does it matter?
There's Rebound and Ray.
And his name wasn't even Ray.
Yeah.
So there you go. Either way, you can hear the tip-off right here tomorrow night on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Well, the All-Star players have been announced for the NHL All-Star Game, and the Bruins have won. David Pastrnak is going to be representing your team in the big NHL All-Star Game. However, Patrice Bergeron is part of the last men in voting contest. So he has been one of the Atlantic Division's finalists for that. If you want to vote and have Patrice Bergeron be one of the last men in, you can vote now until looks like January the 10th. That's right. Thursday, January 10th at 11:59 p.m. at NHL.com.
And not a minute later.
/vote.
What an honor. The last man in.
Well, I mean, for him, I obviously understand why, because he was injured.
No, but it's just the way that they phrase it. The last man in.
I know.
Just good enough.
Well, no, excuse me. It's not called the last. It's the NHL All-Star Last Man In presented by Adidas.
Okay.
That's the official name of what they've got.
The Phil Kessel Award is what this is.
No, that's just the last dude picked, which is the best.
Last man picked. All right. Well, all right.
Are they still doing that?
No.
No,
oh, man.
No, it's a 3-on-3 divisions.
By
now.
Division.
Oh, that's right. But they don't like. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. That was
so
the best part.
It's not the conferences anymore. It's division.
I forgot about that. Now what they are going to do, however, and this is the reason that this popped in my head, is because the Phil Kessel thing was so great when they picked teams, is now at least the NBA has agreed to televising their picking of teams, their picking and choosing.
Okay.
So you may get a Phil Kessel moment when it comes to the NBA All-Stars.
The NHL All-Star game went different this year. For how many years in a row have they had it on a Sunday afternoon when no one paid attention? Now they've moved it to primetime, is my understanding. It's going to be on a Saturday night.
No, even better, where no one can pay attention on a Saturday night.
The skills will be Friday night, and the game is Saturday night. They're hoping to capitalize on primetime instead of a random Sunday afternoon.
I bet there's more people watching on a Sunday afternoon than a Saturday night.
I would agree, especially in the winter. But I will tell you this, is if I'm such a loser, I'm generally home at a certain point on a Friday night suck because I'm exhausted all the time. But I always catch that skills competition, at least some of it. That's the best skills competition. I mean,
it is really good. And Pastrnak, he'll probably do a pretty good job at it, too.
Right. I'm sorry, I got taken aback because the Bankroll Boys have just entered the building.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are they here? All right, good.
Very nice.
I'm not positive if they came in together, because they're mirror images of one another.
Yes, they could be. All right.
Sorry, Rich, you have an important conversation with Joel Murray. Right?
I do. I need him to help. I can't get stoned.
You got to talk to him about this.
Even my mother reached out to me, and she goes, I heard you're immune to marijuana. And I was like, yeah, I tried really hard to get stoned legally,
Joel will have the answers you seek.
I can't explain why the edible didn't work, but the pen... You really need oil.
Well, that's what my whole thing was, that could have been user error. And even though I did everything to the letter.
I've never heard about putting the bud in a
yeah, in a vape. But you can, and apparently it isn't as good. But they had run out of oil, and the guy was like, well, listen, we have this adapter. It's a perfectly fine way to do it. People use it all the time. And so the first night I took two, I inhaled twice, didn't happen. And then I did it five times. As I said, I was sucking on it like a milkshake. And then I said, let's just do edibles. And I took like the biggest edible you could do two nights in a row and nothing. So that's weird.
Yeah.
So I might need some advice from Mr. Joe Murray.
They're going to tell you to use the oils. I can't explain the edible but nonetheless.
Yeah, that's how popular it is right now, is that the place I went to like had run out of oil.
That's not a good thing. Well, I mean, it's not a great endorsement of the place.
Well, I mean, it's
like going to a grocery store. They don't have milk.
Well, I mean, just think that's the kind of run you have when you only have like three or four dispensaries open, you know, and you've got lines out the door. They had to regulate the amount that they could sell you, and it wasn't the legal regulation.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good idea. It sounds like
a little bit better now because there's a lot more places popping up and that have opened up. Like there's one down in like near the Cape now, and
they're opening one in Newton.
Yeah,
on the other side. All right, so we will be back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Thatcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Is there anything better in sports going on right now than the complete destruction and clown show that's happening with the Steelers? Mike Tomlin yesterday came out to speak for the very first time since the Steelers failed to make the playoffs and the whole Antonio Brown debacle with him not showing up for several practices and then showing up on Sunday. They're saying, you ain't playing. So Tomlin goes to the podium. By the way, why does Mike Tomlin always look like he knows there's a room full of assassins that are about to come get him, and he's constantly looking around the room?
His eyes are real wide.
Yeah, it's like he knows that a ninja is about to bust through a wall at any moment and throw a Chinese star at his face. I don't know why he always looks like he's like just examining the room for who's here to assassinate.
He's a very intense, intimidating man.
He is. So I listened to this live. And when it first started, I was like, oh, boy, he's going to start making excuses, saying that it was all an injury the entire time and nobody knows what you're talking about. Oh, no. Mike Tomlin, you delivered. You delivered in a big way. So here's a little bit of Mike Tomlin being asked about what the hell happened with Antonio Brown.
Mike, what's the situation now with Antonio? Have you spoken with him, and how do you see the situation resolving?
I haven't spoken with him since that meeting I had with him prior to the game at the stadium on Sunday. Obviously, I'm going to address it. We're going to address him and the circumstance. But to be quite honest with you, you know, we're going to information gather and use all the time at our disposal in which to do so. I was hopeful that time would be more of an essence in terms of dealing with him and his circumstances. I was hopeful that we would be working this week, but we're not. So because we're not, we're going to information gather and deal with it.
Okay, so he starts talking about how, yeah, you know, he felt that there was a little bit of an injury there at the beginning of the week, and then we thought he was going to come back, and then there was going to be an MRI on Friday, and he didn't show up for that, and then he starts going all in on Antonio Brown.
Mike, what's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did he go through with the MRI, Mike?
He did not. On Friday, he did not. But again, when I talked to you guys on Friday, I was not aware of that. I woke up Sunday morning, got a call from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, Drew Express, that he was feeling better and that he would potentially be able to participate. I outlined to Drew that decisions weren't made like that, but I would be interested in visiting with him in person at the stadium prior to the game. When he woke up on Sunday and felt better and Drew reached out and expressed that, I expressed to Drew that playing was not on the table because we had to draw a line in the dirt in terms of getting our group ready to play and make the last minute preparations and so forth. So it was about his health or lack of information relative to his health in terms of determining his availability. That's why he was listed on the injury report. That's why he was listed on the injury report in the manner in which he was listed.
Yeah, okay. Hang on, what agent was that that called you? Super cool Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah, does that hand much. Still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
That's right, karate expert Drew Rosenhaus.
What's that call like? You know, my client has not been there, but he's feeling better and would really like to play.
Yeah, especially having your agent call is really a good thing.
He couldn't contact you himself, but you know, even though he hasn't been around and is completely, you know, looking past you in as far as an authority figure, you know, he'd really like to play.
Well, the other thing was that not only Tomlin but other members of the organization had constantly been texting him saying, "Where are you? We need you back." And then
sounds familiar.
Could you imagine that if you were Mike Tomlin and you yourself have been trying to get a hold of this guy and you get a call from his agent on Sunday morning saying he's ready to play? Yeah, That's one of the few things that actually Tomlin did yesterday to save a little bit of face was that he's like, no, that's not how things work around here. I don't care who you are. You're not going to play even though we are not going to make the playoffs.
Antonio Brown was very butthurt because of the relationship between
Tomlin and Roethlisberger, to which I would say, yes, the quarterback is way more important than you.
Mm-hmm.
But did you read the tweet from the ex-scout, Greg Gabriel?
Oh, yeah, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yes.
Says, football fan for years have been critical of scouts because Antonio Brown slid to the sixth round. I think we've seen in the last few days why there were issues while he was in college, so he fell.
I guess
teams know what they are doing.
I guess he wasn't effective.
That's right. He sucks.
His whole time with the Steelers. Right.
Didn't lead the NFL in touchdown catches this year. He's really sliding.
That's right.
I 15 touchdown catches in an off year.
Sure.
Okay.
But what's made this even more spectacular is just everything that's been happening on the Antonio Brown side of things. So he's been missing. But meanwhile, he's got this gigantic ring he just ordered that was $20,000 with a bunch of diamonds. It looks like a giant goat. It looks very satanic. And then yesterday, during Mike Tomlin's press conference, James Harrison puts up on Instagram a video of both him and Antonio Brown watching Mike Tomlin's press conference. All right, so this is James Harrison.
James Harrison is so butthurt; it's unbelievable.
He really is. Boy, does he hate the Steelers.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, you played for what, 20 years,
right?
Yeah, and so what? They didn't want you at the end. Get over it.
So here is James Harrison and Antonio Brown, and in the background, you can hear Mike Tomlin's live press conference.
Yo, so I'm sitting here with my boy. I'm about to go ahead. I'm gonna get the exclusive. Y'all stay tuned. We listening to what we listening to right now.
Stay tuned. We about to do this big interview.
We going to drop the exclusive. I got it first.
Yeah, and it never happened. There was no kind of interview or anything after that. Meanwhile, you had Antonio Brown unfollowing the Steelers on Instagram and following the 49ers. Get ready, Jimmy G. Yeah.
You also had Jamal Adams from the Jets reaching out via Twitter Antonio Brown saying, come here.
But when things hit the level of just like we've all gone mad, was last night, if you just so happened to be flipping around and landed on Fox on one of the more ridiculous shows that is now on television, almost as good as the Get in the Hole show. What was that called? Can You Fit in the Hole? Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Hole in the Wall. It's like,
I remember that.
Hey, sure. Look, there's some holes. Jump through them.
Let's turn to The Masked Singer, shall we?
I'm doing it just for you. It's my prerogative.
There's something attractive about
Bono.
It's my prerogative.
That's right. Antonio Brown was dressed as a giant hippo underneath the mask, and then they singing My Prerogative. And then they take it off, and it's like, hey, it's that guy. And NFL star.
That's
Antonio
the show?
Brown. Oh, yeah.
The show is that it's yeah. just some guy?
Okay, so they take people on stage, and it's Jenny McCarthy. It's the dude from the Hangover, Mr. Chow. It's Alan Thicke's kid, Robin Thicke, and I forget who the other person is.
They really went all in.
They spent a lot of money.
This is on primetime television.
Yeah, and so they're all watching these people wearing masks and dancing around, and they're like, oh, I wonder who this person is under the mask. And last night, sure enough, singing My Prerogative was NFL star Antonio Brown, just so everyone knew who it was when they took the mask off.
Because in the commercials, they go like Gwen Stefani, da-da-da-da-da. And so it's really just some guy?
I heard the Feldman was up there. Corey Feldman was last night.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Which I'd like to hear what they've said about him before they saw his face.
So are they given a list of names?
No. They just have to try to guess who it is.
So like someone would go, Antonio Brown? And one guy goes, I knew it. So how the hell would you know it?
Okay, I don't know if anyone saw this.
There has to be a list of names.
All I saw was the highlight clip of him dancing around, and then at the end they're like, And if anyone, do they give you a clue beforehand?
They have
might
to give
be?
You a clue.
617-779-0985, because I have no idea how this whole thing works. Yeah. All I know is that of all the places for him to have shown up on all of the days, last night on The Masked Singer just made everything, just it took it to a new level of strangeness.
Well, I mean, Eddie Murphy was the most popular actor in Hollywood when he came out with Party All the Time. And that didn't work.
That was the follow-up single to the real hit, which was Boogie in Your Butt.
Yeah, but that was a joke song.
Boogie so, in your butt, boogie in your butt.
That was a failed joke song. But if he can't make it, Antonio Brown, you have no chance.
I guess
you know
not.
Wayman Tisdale with the jazz sax.
Yep.
All right, Rich, what else do we got?
All right, well, let's get to reaction to LeBron James calling himself the greatest of all time from actual people who could be considered the greatest of all time. And also, we will get to a update involving the health of your Patriots. All right, hang on. Let's just go to Anthony real quick. He watched the Masked Singer.
All right. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, I watched the Masked Singer last night. I'm embarrassed to say it. They gave, like, all these, like, kind of innocuous clues, and they actually guessed that he would be Odell Beckham and ended up being Antonio Brown. But he did his little, like, dance move that the kids do, and they guessed, but they were never really that close.
He dressed like a giant hippo, right?
All right, so they give you clues about it. So they knew he was a football player, and then they knew, obviously, he was a wide receiver. Ah, what a show.
Or they just knew a name in the NFL, which was Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all really
basically
on top of that.
They also guessed Deion Sanders, which I thought was a pretty solid guess. I was super disappointed because I thought, you know, they danced and they would tell you who it is. It could be a 12-week process to find out that the peacock is Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
the best is it takes like 45 seconds for him to take the mask off. It's like, who is it? And they like zoom in on the face of everybody.
Well, that's how
it's
you overly build suspense. Dramatic.
And then you take it off. It's like, hey, it's Antonio Brown.
Everyone loves Antonio Brown. All right, so we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else do we got?
One other small detail from the whole Antonio Brown weirdness that's been happening, and I hope it doesn't stop for a long time. This has been fun. He posted on his Instagram.
It doesn't make any sense what he posted. I couldn't make heads or tails of what he meant by it.
What are you talking about?
The post on Instagram with his face on it?
Oh, no. That was something. Yeah, I didn't even. It was like some weird poem or something.
Yeah.
That's not. That was just kind of whatever. And he did that during Tomlin's press conference, too. No, he posted a direct message that he got from Tom Brady. And it said on September 12th, which was probably not this year. Either way, Tom Brady ended up giving him a direct message that said, "Keep balling, AB. Fun to watch you." And then he uses the 100 emoji because Tom Brady's cool like that. And to that, Antonio Brown responded back to him, "What an honor. From the GOAT himself," and then two hands praying, "amazing to witness and watch you six round guys," and then a fist dab emoji.
Yes, they were both six round picks.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So he's saying, hey, guess what? The Patriots want me.
I wonder if Tom Brady, yeah, they have the cap. I wonder if they'll take on that salary if he split. I wonder if Tom Brady was drunk.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
And he was just drunk, and he just started DMing people.
I love you, man.
Yeah, he just like, hey, 100%.
100, man.
Just, you know, he got drunk. He started following people on Twitter.
By the way, dick move. Putting someone's direct message and putting it out there for everyone to see. I don't care who you are. It's dick move. You can't do that. Antonio Brown, what are you doing?
You violated his trust.
You did. Now it's over. Now you'll never be a Patriot.
You know?
Because of that reason. Well, speaking of the Patriots, Stephon Gilmore was one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL this season. The stats back that up, according to Pro Football Focus.
Oh, here we go.
Yep. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at all the different stats, balls defensed and all that crazy crap and tackles and sacks, interceptions, blah, 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 he is the best in the league. And as a matter of fact, tied for fifth is another Patriot in Jason McCourty. How about that? Kind of interesting. You don't think much about Jason McCourty, but
it must be dead on.
If you have the people who suck the fun out of sports, who sit there with all of the stats and numbers.
Guys in separate rooms like video bays, you know, checking out film, grading people out. Yeah, because Gilmore had the same caliber of receiver as did McCourty.
Yeah, I know. It's a little different.
Yeah. Give me a guy that shuts down one side of the field. The one thing is that if you compare the stats that are not quantifiable, Gilmore and Revis had very similar seasons with the Patriots.
They did. Matter of fact, Gilmore statistically had a better season than Darrelle Revis
when
he was here.
So there you go. I mean, who could argue with it?
There's Who's the real GOAT?
There's one very large contract that was worth it.
Yeah, he's been great.
I mean, that was, you can criticize a lot of Patriots signings. Adelis Thomas right at the top of the list. You can't criticize the Gilmore free agency signing any way, shape, or form.
He's been one of the few players who has been steady this year. Like steady excellent this entire season.
Yeah. Better than Darrell Revis. He's gonna finish as the best corner of all time. But I know it bothers me when they do those statistics.
Sure.
They're not even statistics.
But at least the one thing you could say about this is that, yeah, he was really good. So, I mean, it's like it doesn't shock me to see that.
But you could tell that he's really good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
necessary. I need numbers, Fred.
You know how good he is in comparison to everybody else.
Yeah, you just watch a game and you go, oh, there. You know, he had, when they played, he shut down Antonio Brown.
That's right. You put him on Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown didn't catch 10 balls for 175 yards.
Right.
Like he does with everybody else.
Yeah, and if you put Jason McCourty on Antonio Brown,
he'll catch 10 balls for 175 yards.
Right. So that's kind of all you need to know.
Yeah.
About it.
Well, we are going to have Burt Breer in studio tomorrow, as we do every Friday during the football season. But I thought this was interesting because a lot of this started right here on our show when he first started talking about a month and a half ago. But Burt Breer was on Colin Cowherd's show yesterday and said this about the search for some of the new coaches in the NFL.
Green Bay Packers' next coach will be
Josh McDaniels.
Oh, why?
And I've said this to you for a month, Colin.
What?
I'm going to explain this to you really quick, okay? Coaching Aaron Rodgers is difficult. There's an anxiety that goes along with it. There's a pressure that goes along with coaching a guy who has that much experience and ability. There's pressure on you to do that. Josh McDaniels is one of the few coaches on the planet who knows what that's like because he's been coaching Tom Brady. That is an important piece of this. I'm not saying for sure he's going to be the head coach. He needs to win the interview. I'm saying he's in a very good position going this weekend.
Oh, I didn't realize you could orgasm over.
Colin is breathless.
Hot take. Goodness.
A lot of weird sound effects. Yeah. That almost sounds like he's, you know.
And for everyone who said it didn't matter. Josh McDaniels has screwed himself. I mean, he's not up for a lot of interviews that he could have been.
I read something that Mike Florio said, and whatever you think about Mike Florio, but he makes a point that we've kind of been making, is confirming it, is that it is scaring a lot of teams away. And you just look at the sheer amount of interviews, and I know you've been saying it before, you know, not only just Flores, but a bunch of other guys that are out there as well. He's only got two that I know of. Does he have a third? The Bengals, did they want him?
Bengals,
did you
Browns,
have that yesterday?
And Packers. Okay. Those are the three, although I don't think the Bengals and Browns have officially gotten permission to speak with him. The Packers are tomorrow.
I don't know if, like, I mean, they interview a lot of people, but I'll tell you this, is that the Adam Gase is, I think, a better candidate for a lot of teams than Josh McDaniels.
Well, I think that Breer makes a pretty good point. And obviously we know he's pretty plugged in. So, and he's,
yeah, but that's,
and he's been saying that for a while
now. But that's
now,
a almost, hypothesis in that.
Is it a hypothesis,
yes,
or does he know? I mean, because a lot of times these guys throw things out there.
What are people going to say? They're going to go like, well, he's worked with Tom Brady. I mean, no one in the organization, I don't think, is going to say that. I think it's a hypothesis.
But I mean,
that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, and so, and he's used to dealing with him, and used to dealing with Brady, who was the best quarterback in football. So you go, oh, okay, that's a logical hypothesis. That's, I mean, that's what I would take out of it. And he just,
well,
and
unless it was like everybody else, where who doesn't want to have anything to do with him because of what he did last year to the Colts. Which there's never been any hint of that with the Packers. They seem to be, this is the guy.
I don't know about that. They're interviewing other people. I didn't get that at all. Who's Green Bay interviewed so far?
I don't think they've interviewed anyone yet. There was that story. They were going to interview the Northwestern head football coach. I don't know if that actually happened or not. There have been other people that have been mentioned in conjunction with that job.
Yeah.
Not just McDaniels, but more to Rich's point, Bert sat in here 6 weeks ago and said McDaniels was going to interview with
Before McCarthy was
fired, he said McDaniels is going to interview with Green Bay.
Okay. I mean, fine. But I'll tell you this, is that McDaniels is not someone. I don't think the majority of teams that have a head coaching vacancy are going to interview him. So, I mean, say what you will about it.
No, it is. Brian Flores getting more interviews than McDaniels certainly is a loud point by the rest of the NFL that last winter mattered. that what he did to Indianapolis mattered.
Yeah, and that he and that I would believe that he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to coach a team because he's turned down so many opportunities. And I don't care that he made money being an assistant. If you're going to be a coach in the NFL, you have to be able to command a room, and it's got to be a dream of yours to not be the second guy.
How about this? If he doesn't take Green Bay or the Cleveland Browns, he's not going anywhere.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. Because you can't get two better opportunities than that.
Go through the interview process again. I got to believe this is his last chance.
A lot of people think the Green Bay
make or miss.
A lot of people think that the Green Bay job is one of the worst ones that you could get.
See, I
Arizona's last by everybody.
No, Bengals are the worst. Bengals are the worst because they're notoriously cheap. They've got nothing going on right now.
If you get the job, you stay forever.
Yeah. All right.
So that's a good point.
No commercials are just the headlines. We'll get to the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.